Our next guest is no stranger to this show, my goodness, although he hasn't been on in a few weeks. We enjoy having him on each and every time. He's really involved. He loves to get his community involved in different aspects of government and taking pride in the town, that in the district that he represents. And so it's no surprise that he himself sends messages and communicates with his constituents as regularly as he does. It's Senator John Kissel. John, Senator, good morning. How are you?
I'm fabulous, Gary, and that was like a nice send-up. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Well, I mean it. I know your constituents love you, and it's one of the main reasons is something that you don't see a lot in government nowadays, or not just necessarily nowadays, but for a while, and that's the transparency. And that can, other than the time when it's campaign season and you go door-to-door, although this year it might be a little tricky, but traditionally when people do that is really the only time that they have that one-on-one contact, as most people don't attend every fundraiser or every ribbon cutting or grand opening. I know you pride yourself on staying in touch with your constituents on a regular basis.
Yeah, I think it's important. I mean, we've tried to, as soon as this whole emergency set in, I talked to my communications people. I have like one of the best in Adam Liejo. I have probably one of the best legislative aides in Kate McEvoy. Mm-hmm. And we're just trying to create a newsletter every day. But I really try to go over it and make sure it's balanced, it's not partisan, it's factual. And once a week, we're trying to do something that's, sort of uplifting and understanding that this is a scary time for a lot of people.
It is.
I understand that.
You know, I was able to get a hold of a message that one of those messages that you just mentioned at one of your newsletters. I think I got your Sunday message, and I have to hand it to you. You know, you're very positive. You're very uplifting when you say that, we're going to go through this. We're going to do this together, and we can do this. It's just at a time when a lot of people are worried and it's doom and gloom. And I don't want to make light of the subject. It's obviously very serious. Make no mistake about it. But you seem to say, there's light at the end of the tunnel. And as long as we stick together, we're going to make it through just fine. And I think that's exactly the message that people look to their leadership, to hear, and they want to hear.
Well, thank you, Gary. I appreciate that. That was one of the I won't call them warm and fuzzy, but I tried to do something uplifting, Sunday. It was a rainy weekend, and try to bring people's spirits up. Hey, listen, there's no doubt this is going to be tragic, and there's going to be a lot of suffering out there. Uh-huh. I don't have any doubts in my mind. But we're going to get through it as a state. We're going to get through it as a country. And, we just have to keep our eyes focused on that. And, if you have a God, pray to whoever God you believe in. If you don't, hug your family and friends. And, not too much. Got to keep that social distancing.
Right.
You got to keep a sense of humor, too. But, I mean, just on the news, I just was listening as I was waiting. And, you had a death in Meriden. And the person's in their 40s. So that doesn't really fit the whole, parameters. But the notion with this virus is that typically if it's not someone older than 65, there's some other kind of underlying health issues. And so we're slowly getting our arms around trying to figure out who has this, who doesn't, what are the symptoms. But like I said, we're going to get through this. And we have to be strong for our parents and for our children and for our neighbors and friends and for the ones that we love.
Do you think it's smart with the precautions that we're taking? Do you think it's overdone? Do you think it's underdone? Do you think we need to be distancing more for a longer duration of time? Do you think the road should be closed? Do you think the businesses should still be open? A whole host of all that. What is your opinion on how things are being handled?
I actually want to give Governor Lamont props on this one. I didn't agree with him on his whole, tolls thing and a bunch of other policies. We did not see eye to eye, but I think he sort of has figured out the pulse of Connecticut. I think he's gone about as far as the public is willing to accept. Mm-hmm. But every day he comes out with something additional, it seems like. And I think that we're sort of right where we should be as the state of Connecticut. Now, in 2 weeks, it may be just like shutter in place and just hang out for, a couple of weeks just in your house and don't even go to the store unless you desperately have no food. But right now, I think that we have time to plan a little bit. time to stock up. I think we need to encourage people to go to their essential services if that's the job they have, and especially if they're healthcare workers. They're the front line, and we're going to need them now more than ever.
You know, you hit on something that we've talked about only briefly, but since you bring this up, I'll bite a little bit here. We heard that they're saying that Connecticut will peak in about 2 weeks, sometime around the 14th or 15th of April. And that's where it'll peak, and then the numbers will kind of gradually go down. So we're still, tomorrow being the 1st of April, we're still a couple of weeks away from that. But you mentioned something just a second ago that really caught my attention where, you know, you just have the supplies that you have in your house, the food that you have in your house, the medication that you have in your house, and you're not going to need to go anywhere, and you may need to bunker down because, you know, for at least a week or whatever, or maybe less than that, and not even leave the house. That would cause a mass rush to the grocery stores and the pharmacies just prior to implementing that. Do you see the state going in that direction where we could very well be on a much more strict self-quarantine? Or maybe it's not a self-quarantine anymore. Maybe it's government-mandated quarantine.
Yeah. I got to be honest, Gary. Unfortunately, my mom grew up in Philadelphia, and so when I was growing up, my grandfather told me about the 1918 Spanish flu pandemic, and it gave me an early education and a little bit of the fear of God in me that I've never forgotten. And if we get to something even remotely similar to that, I think that Governor Mee would well within his rights to say, listen, you got to stay in your house unless it's an absolute emergency, and, you know, that could last 1 or 2 weeks. So right now, it's the lull before the storm, and I think I'm not urging everyone to rush out to, you know, Stop and Shop and Walgreens and everything else like that, but try to do a little bit each day while you have some breathing room, and then, you know, God forbid somebody in your family comes down with symptoms or the order comes down from the state to shelter in place, you're just not caught between a rock and a hard place. So I think, you know, just be practical. It's like you're going, if you're going on summer vacation or going on a camping trip, yeah. You know, you wouldn't wait to that morning to stock up. You'd sort of like take a couple of weeks and get everything you need together so that when you have to hop in your camper and drive off, you're all set. I would sort of look at it like that.
Yeah. Well, we may very well have a week or so like that. And I don't want to, just like yourself, I don't want to send anybody off in a panic and, you know, where we start hoarding things again. I think people are taking, ordering anything online, whether it's through Amazon or whatnot online, for granted, because if we do get ourselves into a situation where you really cannot leave the house, listen, your UPS drivers, your U.S. Postal Service, and your FedEx will also cease in running as well. So you can order anything you want online, but that doesn't mean necessarily that you're going to get it in the few days that you're expecting it, if we're ever in a situation like that.
Exactly. So we benefit from being between Boston and New York, but it's also a detriment in a situation like this. And I was watching the news last night, and actually, amazingly, Chicago was looking at New York and trying to learn from some of the mistakes that have happened in New York City. Mm. And I think we, as the state of Connecticut, can sort of learn from that as well. Now, I happen to live in north central Connecticut, so I think we're a little luckier as far as just geography. Clearly, Fairfield County and the southwestern part of the state is much more vulnerable being close to that epicenter of New York City. But still, every day that God gives us another day that we can, you know, just think of what you need around your house and just sort of do it a little bit at a time if you can. I just think that 2 weeks from now we'll look back and say, wow, that was actually good advice.
Well, 2 weeks from now we may be self-quarantining as we hit the peak, but you know, this is a great, if there's any silver lining here, and I say that very loosely, is that you can get some of these house projects, spring cleaning or lawn work done that, you know, we're so often procrastinating. Well, I got to get to those leaves, or they're from last fall, or I've been meaning to paint this, this room, or I've been meaning to do a deep cleanse of the kitchen. Now would be that opportunity. Do you think that Well, what is? How do you feel we're going to come out of this on the back end? Let's say the dust settles a little bit, the numbers are down, if not down at absolute zero, and then there's the aftermath economically here, not only in the state of Connecticut but nationally. How do you think we're going to be able to come out of this predicament?
Sure. Well, I think if we can get our arms around this, and there's not as much tragedy as there's the potentiality for there to be, a couple of things will come into play. In talking to, for example, representatives of the judicial branch and the Department of Corrections, because I sit on the Judiciary Committee and we have cognizance over those two areas, they're keeping a log, a daily log, and so that, you know, God willing, we're all walking and alive next year, and I'm lucky enough to get reelected, we'll have lessons learned that we can act upon as a legislature without reinventing the wheel. So that'll be something we're trying to make sure that that is taking place. But economically, in talking to my leadership, and we text on a daily basis, hourly almost, small businesses, they're a priority right now, trying to put off some of their tax obligations, working on that bridge loan program that's just been overwhelmed but should get up and running again. But also, you know, things like pushing out property taxes, discussing maybe waiving the interest penalty if people struggle to just make those deadlines. And so relief like that, I don't think there's going to be huge amounts of just straight up grants where people are getting tons of money just mailed to them. But I think whatever we can do to try to not have people pounded is important, not have their, you know, power turned off and being evicted without having an opportunity to get back on their feet. And hey, listen, we get out the other side of this, and we've learned our lessons. All you need is that stock market to start revving up again, and then all of a sudden people's worries get a little bit less, because a lot of my seniors are depending on their IRAs and their stock portfolios, and this crazy market over the last few weeks has not made them happy.
Yeah, well, and then there's gains, and there's a gains for a couple of days, and then it goes right back down, and then we're at all-time lows.
Yeah, it's a fickle thing, but again, it was doing really well for 3 years. This is an aberration. This, you know, even the terrible Spanish flu of 1918, year and a half later, it just vanished. So it did its huge damage worldwide, but then it goes away, and then look what happened then. All of a sudden, you're entering in a few years the Roaring Twenties, where everything is just
right.
Booming.
And you know, heard Dr. Fauci though says that there's a very good likelihood, strong likelihood of this returning this fall. Now, technically, that's still within the same the same year. But in other words, what he's saying is that once the summer weather gets here, it doesn't necessarily mean that we're out of the woods yet.
No, and that's a scary thing. And if it follows the parallel of the Spanish flu, that's exactly what happened. My great-grandparents passed in, I believe, October of 1918. Mm. And then the crazy thing about that particular pandemic was it hit the healthiest people between ages 20 and 40 the hardest. That doesn't appear to be the model for this particular one. It appears that the more vulnerable individuals are more susceptible. So it's a different sort of paradigm that we're dealing with here. But again, I think just being sensitive to your surroundings, being thoughtful, remaining calm, caring for those that you care about, working from home if you have that ability, doing the best you can, and federal government sending that stimulus our way. And but again, I think April's going to be our toughest month. We just got to hunker down.
Yeah, without a doubt. You mentioned seniors, and I wanted to kind of go there next. I'm sure you must have had seniors that are reaching out to you, asking for assistance. What are some of the requests that you're hearing from your seniors as they fall into that vulnerable category?
Well, a lot of seniors up in my neck of the woods have to work, and so they understand that there's health risks by going out there, whether they're working at a supermarket or wherever, but, they have to have a paycheck coming in the door. And so I'm sensitive to that. Any kind of programs that we can have to try to alleviate their worries, that's a good thing. Mm-hmm. Trying to make sure that they're in contact. You don't have to have people coming over to your house, but a phone call to your grandchildren and stuff like that. But again, a lot of them, it's the stock market. It's And if they have a small business, I think there were taxes due tomorrow that are now going to be pushed off. So it's things like that, so that they don't have to, they shouldn't be worrying about that stuff right now. They should just be worrying about, you know, keeping heart and soul and mind together.
You've got colleagues from the southern part of the state who are really dealing with residents that live in their district but may work in Manhattan or work in parts of New York City, only to come right back into Connecticut where they reside, where their family is. And as we all know, New York City is really the epicenter for the coronavirus. And yet you're in a different part of the state, and you border a different state as well. How are you? How do you compare what you're going or what they're going through to your situation?
Well, certainly there's heightened concerns down in Fairfield County. You got folks going in and out of New York on Metro North, and how long is that going to last? And, you know, it's just super expensive to live down there. So what we think is a huge salary, you know, just pays the bills down there. Up in my neck of the woods, unfortunately, you know, just over in Stafford, we have this Evergreen nursing home situation. Over the weekend, we had some cases both with employees and residents in Suffield House nursing home. So I don't know why it's taking that path, but it's popping up in nursing homes here in North Central Connecticut, and we got to keep an eye on that. But we don't have, knock on wood, man, we just don't have huge amounts of cases thus far.
Good.
I think people are, you know, I hate to say it, but there's a lot of good old-fashioned New England common sense.
Yeah, no, that's good. I like to hear that. My final question to you, I only got about a minute left. You know it as well as I do, going through this myself a few times. This year is short session. You may not be going back. Who knows? It may be coming back over the summer. But it's also, you know, a campaign season. Will this coronavirus prevent? How does campaigning even factor into the equation? And I only got about 30 seconds left.
Yeah, we're going to have to do it all by the seat of our pants one way or another. I mean, you can't do a fundraiser. No one's going to want you knocking on their door right now and talking to them. We should just focus on this health crisis, love each other, take care of each other, family, friends, neighbors, and get through this. And when we get through this, and I don't know if it'll be May, June, end of April, but at some point in the summer, we're going to be able to take a pause, and then we can figure out, what is the fall hold? Because if this thing comes back in the fall, that changes everything for the
right
election.
Senator, I can't thank you enough. We always appreciate when you join us, and we look forward to having you back maybe in a couple of weeks. How's that?
Gary, you're doing a fabulous job. Thanks for the extra hours during this interesting period.
It's my pleasure. You have a great day.
You too, man.
Senator John Kissel, I'm Gary.